Take out your Bibles, please, and also take out your sermon notes if you so desire. I do need to say, and this is on me, the title of this message is not Unafraid. I gave Aaron the wrong information. Title of today's message is Unbroken. Unafraid's coming in a few weeks. And really, it kind of shows some of my mindset, because as I was working through this passage of Scripture and thinking through this idea of unbroken, Unafraid kept on coming in. So you may hear some hints, and you'll maybe by the end know that I could have easily called this Unafraid. But this is the middle of the second in a series of sermons I'm doing called Unchristian. And once again, I'm not referring to those who aren't followers of Jesus Christ. I'm referring to the fact that for us to be Christians, we can't be some things. There's a renouncement that goes, or sometimes we're called to be the opposite of something. And so today I want to talk about being unbroken. And my passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. We're going to get to it presently, but not right now. Because I want to turn our minds to some world events. There was a deadly disease that ran through parts of the world. And at first, when the devastating disease made its appearance, it appeared to be nothing worse than just the flu. There's fever and headache and achiness, maybe some vomiting and diarrhea. But after a week or so, it was clear that this wasn't just the flu. It was something more serious. And after 2 weeks, some lesions would begin to appear in the mouth and throat. And these lesions would over the course of a couple of days, start to swell. And then they would erupt, releasing more of the virus into the patient's body. And about 2 days later, a rash would appear on the skin. And after a couple more days, the rash turns into lesions, which covers the patient's body. And these lesions then turn hard, like beads under the skin, and eventually they began oozing. And if the person's lucky, then after about 2 weeks, the lesions would dry up and then they would flake off, leaving some terrible scarring. And about 30% of the patients aren't so lucky, and they die. And some forms of the disease turn malignant, and still others cause internal hemorrhaging. And these forms are almost always fatal. This disease is highly contagious and very, very dangerous. And though it's in the news right now that the virus that I'm describing is not Ebola, it's smallpox. And it wasn't known as that until the Middle Ages. But in the Roman Empire, it was simply called the plague. In 165 AD, the plague broke out throughout the Roman Empire. And while there's no way for scholars to be absolutely certain which disease the plague was, most believe it was either smallpox or measles, and most come on the side that it was smallpox. Well, whatever the actual disease, in those days and times, it was absolutely lethal. And during the 15-year duration of this outbreak of the plague, anywhere from a quarter to a third of the population of the Roman Empire, the entire Roman Empire, a quarter to a third died. Think about that. Among these who died was the emperor himself, Marcus Aurelius. And then in 251, it broke out again. And at its peak, it was reported that in the city of Rome itself, just in the city of Rome, that 5,000 people a day were dying. Now, the pagan religions of the Greco-Roman world were inadequate in responding to this plague. They provided neither a plausible explanation for why it appeared, nor did they provide a means for the people to be able to withstand it. When even the emperor succumbs, and understand that they believed in those days that the emperor himself was divine. So even when the emperor it succumbs, then the power of all of their gods just crumbled in the face of the plague. But Christianity, however, had a response. The Christian values of love and of charity were translated into concrete actions of social service and community solidarity. In other words, instead of abandoning the sick as the pagans did, Christians defied the disease and they ran towards it. They cared for the sick. Instead of running from the crisis, Christians ran into the crisis. They feared neither disease nor death. And so it was in 251, Cyprian, the bishop of Carthage, one of the leading Christians of the day, wrote, "This plague and pestilence searches out the justice of each and every one and examines the mind of the human race. Whether the well care for the sick, whether relatives dutifully love their kinsmen as they should, whether masters show compassion for their ailing slaves, whether physicians do not desert the afflicted. These are trying exercises for us, not deaths. They give us the mind, they give to the mind the glory of fortitude. By contempt of death, they prepare for the crown. Our brethren who have been freed from the world by the summons of the Lord should not be mourned, since we know that they are not lost but sent before. That in departing they lead the way, that as travelers, as voyagers are wont to be, they should be longed for, but not lamented. And that no occasion should be given to pagans to censure us deservedly and justly on the ground that we grieve for those we say are living with God." Cyprian reminds us of the words that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. Let's take a look at these words. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 10. He says, "For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be also made visible in our bodies." See, while pagans, fearful of disease, fearful of death, abandoned the sick, Christians were defiantly compassionate. They were defiantly loving. And as a result, we know that the survival rates of the Christian population during the plagues of the Roman Empire was much higher than the pagan population. And so as a result of this, many pagans converted to Christianity because it had an answer. Imagine that. Just think about this. The simple compassion of regular people was the most effective evangelism strategy. I thought about this when the Ebola outbreak first occurred, first reported. I thought about it because, and it's not insignificant for us to note, that the first two doctors who were in there and then contracted the disease and had to be isolated and flown back to the United States for treatment, it's not insignificant that they were Christian missionaries. Because that reminded me that this is what Christians have been doing for centuries. These two doctors ran towards the disease rather than away from it. They left the safety of home behind and they put their lives on the line to bring help and comfort and healing to people who lack access to even basic health care. They defied the monster. They stood in front of it and they shook their fist at it. And their defiant compassion and love brought them into the teeth of the monster. And just as in Cyprian's day, those outside of Christianity just don't understand these people. In 1908, one such person questioned whether Christian missionaries were any different than capitalists. He wrote, "We insist that these unfortunate and civilized people buy our wheat, flour, and bicycles. even though rice and rickshaws are probably just as good. How is that different from what the missionaries do? They simply offer Christianity rather than consumerism. How is it any different? Now, in response to that, Brian Palmer, who isn't a Christian, wrote in Slate magazine, he said, there's a big difference between missionaries and Western merchants. The missionaries don't profit personally from their work. They are compensated very poorly, if at all. Many risk their lives. How many people would risk death to spread the gospel of Western consumer goods gratis? Still, when one of these infected American missionaries was flown back to the United States for treatment, there were those who just didn't understand this defiant compassionism. Donald Trump griped that do-gooders trying to save Africa should be prepared to suffer the consequences. And Ann Coulter called the doctor idiotic and asked of his mission to Africa, what was the point? Christians ought to get it. See, following Jesus isn't just about being compassionate and loving. It's about being defiantly so. We see, following Jesus means that no matter what the risks, no matter the cost, no matter the criticism, no matter the rejection, even in the face of persecution and ridicule, the threat of death itself, following Jesus means that in the face of all of that, we will still act with compassion and mercy. That I will always do the loving thing. I will always do the healing thing. I will always do the comforting thing, no matter what I face. See, we look at the cross as a symbol of God's sacrifice and of His unconditional love. But I think that we failed to see an essential aspect of the cross's meaning. See, at its core, the cross is a symbol of defiance. The cross is Jesus standing up to the temple leadership and saying, I don't care what you do. I will stand up against your exploiting of your fellow Jews, robbing them blind to enrich yourselves, and all in the name of God. The cross is Jesus standing up to the Romans and saying, I don't care what you do to me. I will stand up against your injustice. I will stand up against your violence. I will stand up against your idolatry. I will stand up against your robbing of the working peasant to enrich your false emperor God. I don't care what you do to me. The cross is Jesus standing up against the violent zealots who claim God's blessing on their bloodthirst for war. And Jesus saying to them, I don't care what you do to me. I will tell my followers to put their swords away and pick up their crosses. For the kingdom of God will not defeat evil with a sword, but with a servant's towel. I don't care what you do to me, he says. Nail me to a cross if you want to. Bury my body in a cave. I may be dead, but I will still be alive. And I will rise again. And I will break the bonds of sin. And I will break the bonds of violence. And I will usher in a kingdom of defiant compassion and defiant unconditional love. That's what the cross is Jesus saying. And Paul got this. Paul understood that this is what he had to face. And so Paul's ministry entailed doing the very same thing. He stood up to the Jewish leadership. He stood up to the Greek philosophers. He stood up to the Romans. And they tried time and time again to forcefully stop him. And yet he was defiant to them. I mean, just listen in his own words to all that he endured for the sake of the cross. Later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. For a night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, cold and naked. And besides other things, I am under daily pressure because of my anxiety for all the churches. And yet, he says, afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but never forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Unbroken. Unbroken. The earliest Christians got it. The question is, will we? Will we be willing to stand up defiantly with the compassion of Christ, the unconditional love of Christ? Will we stand up defiantly and say no to death and no to sin, no to injustice, no to dividing people up according to race or ethnicity or nationality or however else we want to do it? Will we stand up and be defiantly compassionate? See, last week I talked about the need for us to come to each other in our brokenness. Because none of us are perfect and all of us have messed up. And the more we try to deny it, the worse off we are. I'm talking about a different kind of brokenness now. I'm talking about the kind that comes to us from the outside when, because we stand up for our faith, we are attacked and we are afflicted. And then we have to be willing to stand up and know that because of Christ and the victory He won on the cross and in the empty tomb, that we will remain unbroken in the face of whatever the world throws at us. So we can be unbroken or we can be safe. And so we gather around the Lord's table this morning to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But not only the sacrifice. We remember that He did so voluntarily. He did so standing up, knowing fully what He was doing. And he could have run away, could have easily run away from the crisis. But instead, He ran to the crisis. And because of that, we have now the healing and the forgiveness because of His body and His blood. So let's take a moment to reflect. You may want to take a look at your sermon notes and reflect on the reflection questions there. Or just do some business with God as we prepare our hearts to receive the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment as we gather around the Lord's table to examine ourselves, and then we'll partake.